Hello, and welcome to the Embassy City Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Now here's Pastor Tim.
Oh, come on, somebody. Get excited about what God's getting ready to do. It's going to be lit, y'all. You know, the Lord spoke and said, hey, Irving Convention Center, 2024. I said, all right, God. Went, talked to the team, yo, Irving Convention Center. Not the one with the divider in it. We're taking the divider out. We're doing the big, big. You ever hear, have God speak to you and then you act on it impulsively? And then after you do it, you're like, look, wait a minute. Well, we're going for it, y'all. I believe that this is going to be a demonstration of God's power. Irving is about to get hit with the boom shakalaka. They don't even know. It's going to be totally different after we get through in there. Because God's going to be there. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Invite all your friends, all your family members. Part of the reason why this is going to be so cool is because some of you have never met your family members in the 9 o'clock. And some of the 9 o'clock have never met you all here at the 11. And some of our online viewers are going to be there. I'm telling you, it's going to be absolutely spectacular. We've got enough seats for all your cousins, your auntie, your uncle, your grandma and grandma and them, and your neighbors. I feel like the Lord just wants to say this real quick. If you haven't invited the person that the Lord's been putting on your heart to invite, this is the Sunday to invite them. Because God is going to change their life. Does anybody believe that? Yeah. It's about to get real. All right, y'all ready to get in this word?
Yes.
Turn with me to John chapter 11, the book of John chapter 11. We're kicking off a new series today. We just closed out a series that we call Control Yourself. Was that helpful to anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we start a new one called He Is. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some significant events that lead up to Resurrection Sunday. And I believe that in the next few weeks, God is going to do something special as He prepares us for what's going to happen on Easter Sunday. So I need you to get your faith up to the next level. Can anybody do that? Get your faith up to the next level, because I'm just going to warn you, I'm going to preach. I just wonder, do I have two or three people that are going to preach with me? Do I have anybody in here that's going to help me preach? You were warned. John chapter 11, verse number 1. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading here today, but I feel like it's necessary for us to get the context of the entire story. So John chapter 11, verse number 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They don't get it at all. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus, he dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciple, let's go too and die with Jesus. They How many know some people like this? You try to have a conversation with, and they still don't get what you're saying. Then Jesus arrived at Bethany. He was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Now, Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people who had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Then Martha got word that Jesus was coming. She went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that that God will give you whatever you ask. Ooh, that's dangerous. Ooh, that's a dangerous mentality. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Martha, yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. She don't get it either. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. Now, when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. But when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, notice these are the exact same words that Martha said. Almost as if they got together and said, all right, when Jesus gets here, this is what we're going to say. Now, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I love the King James Version. It says, he stinketh. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Didn't I tell you? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus! Come out! Ooh, I love the dramatization. Thank you. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes God can take you out of a situation, but you still wrapped up in some stuff. Most people want to unwrap some people before they take them out. Jesus will take them out and then unwrap them. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. For the next little while, I want to preach on this topic. He is coming. He is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you're going through, know this. He is coming. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, so thankful that you have allowed us to be in your house. I pray in the next few moments you would give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to understand what your word is speaking to us. Help us to walk out of here different than the way we walked in. We give your name the praise, the glory, the honor, because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. One more time, can you give God some praise in this place? Come on. There is nothing worse than showing up to a meeting expecting to meet somebody and they're not there. This happened to me a few months ago. I had scheduled a meeting with an individual at a restaurant, and I showed up to the restaurant a few minutes before our meeting time because I like to get there, get my seat, look over the menu, be prepared, you know what I'm saying? And I waited, and so the time came for us to meet, and this person was not there. And I said, okay, no problem. He's a young man, probably doesn't know proper etiquette when you meet people. I'll give him a pass. 5 minutes go by. I'm sitting there by myself now. I went ahead and ordered my water. No ice, with a lemon, please. 15 minutes go by. He still ain't there. I haven't received the text yet. So I went ahead and ordered the appetizer. 25 minutes. I'm getting agitated. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I see the way out, but... but this is annoying me now. So I went ahead and ordered my food. I said, all right, you don't show up, I'll have a day by myself. I like myself. I'll take myself out to eat. And I'm like, he hasn't called, he hasn't texted, he has not corresponded to tell me what's going on. Now, I will extend grace. Maybe you had a flat tire. Maybe you got caught in traffic. Maybe the baby threw up right before you walked out the house. Anybody know that feeling? Maybe something happened. Maybe there was a wreck in your family or something. But communicate and let me know so I don't sit here looking like I ain't got no friends. So I'm at 25 minutes past the time that we're supposed to meet, and I text, are you still coming? Question mark. Exclamation mark. Question mark. One more exclamation mark. With the emoji. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I get one of those autofill responses, on the way. Now, I'm agitated. My blood pressure's up. And I make up in my mind, all right, when this young man gets here, I'm going to say, young man, why are you late? And I already had it mapped out in my head what I was going to talk to him about. I was going to talk to him about respecting people's time. And I was going to say it in a nice, godly way that Paul would. Timothy, I beseech you, my brother. I'm trying to help you. And something told me, you better go back and check what time you told him to meet you. So I went back through my text messages. And lo and behold, I told him to meet me at 12:30. And I was there at 12. And I realized I had all this anxiety, all this pressure built up, not because he was late, because I was early. And because he wasn't on my timeline, I was getting agitated at him, even though he was showing up right on time. Oh God. He didn't come when I wanted him to, but the reality is he was showing up right on time. Hey, does anybody know what that feels like with God? Where just because God don't come on your timeline doesn't mean that he's late. Maybe you're too early. See, the story of Lazarus had the same problem. Because John is writing to us about, he depicts the story of a man named Lazarus who happens to be a very close friend of Jesus who has come to be ill. And for all intents and purposes, we realize that this illness was leading him unto death. It was serious enough that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, send word through a messenger to Jesus, who, by the way, is just a few miles away. And they tell him, hey, go tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick. But they want to appeal to Jesus' relationship with Lazarus. So they tell him, hey, go tell him that your friend whom you love is sick. I love the way the King James Version says it like this. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I want you to notice this. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are well aware of Jesus' abilities. They are disciples of Jesus. So no doubt they've seen Jesus work many miracles. They know that he has the ability to cause lame legs to leap again. They know that he has the ability to give sight to those who are blind. They know that he has the power and the authority to command demons to come out of somebody. They know that he can walk on water. They know that he can speak to the storm and it will be still. They know that he can feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They are fully aware of Jesus' ability to work miracles. So when they appeal to Jesus, you know they were thinking, if Jesus is willing to do miracles for strangers, surely he'll work a miracle for somebody he loves. So they appeal to Jesus. Jesus, your friend is sick. We need you to roll through. Drop whatever you got going and come see your friend. And yet, when Jesus receives the news, Jesus simply said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, when I read the scripture, I think to myself, what kind of glory would Jesus get out of death? It would have been simpler for Jesus just to speak healing over this man than for this man to go through suffering, then end up dying, then Jesus go and see him. Now, based on the statement that Jesus made, you would think that Jesus would leave whatever he's doing and make his way to Bethany so that he can heal his friend. But the Bible says, check this out. This is how John wrote it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 more days longer in the place where he was. Now, if you read this correctly, what Jesus is doing is Jesus is delaying his trip so that Lazarus would die. John doesn't give us any indication that Jesus had some kind of emergency that he had to attend to. He wasn't like in a three-day revival and couldn't get out of it. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't in the class. He wasn't healing so many people. It literally says that when Jesus got the news that Lazarus was sick, he decided, you know what? I'm going to extend my vacation. Has anybody ever been there? Where when you pray, God normally shows up. But when you really need him to show up, it's like he takes a vacation on you. Like there are times when I pray and God shows up right away. But when I really need him to show up and I'm like, God, I need you to come through today. God's like, nah. All right, I'll settle for tomorrow. God's like, no, I'm actually going to go down to the lobby and extend my stay at the inn. And you got to think about how Mary and Martha must have felt. No, we love to talk about the miracle of Lazarus getting up, but you understand that before he got up, there was a period of waiting while he was dead. The story of Lazarus is not really about Lazarus. The story about Lazarus is really about Mary and Martha. Think about it. Mary and Martha send a messenger to Jesus saying, hey, your friend is sick. We need you to roll through. And the messenger comes. Jesus is like, listen, this ain't going to end in death. I'll get there when I get there. You go tell them. This messenger has to go back to Mary and Martha and tell them, listen, I got word from Jesus. And Mary and Martha are expecting Jesus to be with the messenger, but he's not there. So they go, all right, so we were expecting Jesus to be here, but I just feel like that's how they talked. Where is he? And the messenger has to say, he is coming. Well, when is he going to get here? He didn't say. Well, what did he say? He said, he is coming. Now, this isn't about Lazarus. Because think about it. A dead person has no opinions. The Bible doesn't indicate that Lazarus sent for Jesus. It says that his sister sent for Jesus. So this really wasn't about Lazarus. All Lazarus was doing was and Mary and Martha like, Lazarus, you're dying. Let me go get Jesus. And he's like, no, just let me go. Oh, thank you. Here's the thing. The best place for Lazarus was actually death. Because he had a relationship with Jesus. He knew God. The best thing that could have happened for him is for him to die. Why? Because if he died, he was on his way to paradise. So imagine being on your way to paradise and mid-flight getting pulled back down into your body. You know, Lazarus was probably so mad at Mary and Martha. You know, girl, I was on my way to my mansion. But here's the fact. Mary and Martha were the ones who appealed to Jesus to work the miracle. But can you imagine how Mary and Martha must have felt when they appealed to Jesus to come and he delayed his coming? Think about it. We're not just talking about that the fact that there was a possibility that Jesus could do it. They knew that Jesus could. It wasn't an argument of, you know, if it was possible, if he had it within him. They knew full well that Jesus had the ability to come heal Lazarus from his sickness. In fact, they knew that Jesus could literally just speak the word where he was, and Lazarus could have been healed where he was. They were fully aware of God's ability, and yet they have to deal with the disappointment of delayed gratification. How disappointed they must have been. But think about it. They're sitting there with Lazarus. He is at a point of sickness. They know that it's easy for Jesus just to heal him from his sickness. But now he is dead. And now that he's dead, Jewish custom was that you had to bury them right away. They didn't have these, you know, refrigerators where you can put a body in and embalm them and keep them for weeks at a time. They literally had to start burying them immediately because of the weather, because of the heat, the body would start to decompose. So here Lazarus is, he is now dead. Rigor mortis starts to settle in. The body of Lazarus begins to decompose. Now the maggots and the flies are going there and they have to dress his body. They have to put spices on it. They have to put herbs on it. And then they wrap his body in grave's clothes. And the last thing that they would do is they would put what they call the death napkin over their face, which was the final ending, the final salutation. And so they're getting ready to put Lazarus into the grave. They roll the stone there. They hear the obituary. Someone gives the eulogy. Now they're at the repast. They have ended the story of Lazarus, and it looked like all hope was gone because for 4 days, Lazarus has been dead. And the Bible said he is starting to stink. But even in the midst of what looked to be a hopeless situation, and it was past the point of return, and it didn't look like Jesus was coming through, and it didn't look like Jesus had given them a miracle, and it didn't look like anything was going to happen in their life, when they were done with burying the body of Lazarus, they had three words that they could still depend on and hang on to. He is coming. He is coming. Why is that important to Mary and Martha? It's because they knew who he is. He is the way maker. He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who was and is to come. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God sent down from heaven. He is the one that the prophets foretold about for 4,000 years that he would come. He is the light of the world. He is the salt of the earth. He is. And the fact is that Mary and Martha, even though their situation looked hopeless, they could have faith knowing that Jesus was on his way. And this is why they had hope, because they know that when he is, gets here, everything that is dead will come back to life because he is coming. No. I got to teach this a little more.
Yeah.
Because Lazarus is just the type and a shadow of our reality. See, Mary and Martha came to Jesus when he showed up. And they said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. This is the common response of anyone who has had to bury a promise. This is the most common response for anybody who's ever had to set aside something they felt like God was calling them to. This is the natural response of anybody who has ever had God speak something in your life, but it's been laying dormant for a while. It's been buried. It's not at the point of being resuscitated. It needs to be completely rearranged. This is the common response that we have toward you. Jesus, if you would have showed up on time, my marriage wouldn't have ended in divorce. Jesus, if you would have got here when I asked you to get here, I wouldn't have walked away. Jesus, if you would have got here the moment that I asked you to come here, then maybe I wouldn't have turned back to drugs. If you would have got here in time, then maybe my child wouldn't have left the faith. If you would have got here in time, then maybe I would have made it out. If you would have got here in time, then maybe I wouldn't be locked up. If you would have got here in time, I wouldn't have to deal with the problems that I'm dealing with. And yet I'm here to preach and tell somebody that it does not matter how dark your night may seem and how hopeless your situation may be. He is coming. And as long as he is coming, you can keep on holding on, because when he gets here, anything that is dead in your life will come back to life. I'm here to preach and tell somebody that feels like giving up, that feels like throwing in the towel, that feels like quitting. You just came here on a plank and a prayer. You came here just because it was a Sunday thing to do. You came here because you need a word from God, and God's giving you a word right now that's telling you, don't you give up, don't you give in, don't you throw in the towel, don't you throw your faith away. I know what you believe for may be in a grave somewhere, but he is coming. I know it stinks. I know it's been a while. I know that you gave up hope. I know that you've been mourning it for a while. I know that you're sad. I know that you got friends around you that told you that it'll be all right. God will give you something else. But you know that the thing that you buried was the thing that God promised you. Could you imagine Mary and Martha as Jesus is scrolling up and they're going, he finally gets here, but Jesus, you're a little too late. You know that thing that I told you about? You could have easily just said something and it would have come right back to life. You could have literally just sent the handkerchief and it would have been all right. But you've been gone 4 days too late. What am I supposed to do with that? Jesus' response to her is classic. Girl, didn't I tell you what was going to happen? I'm preaching to somebody. Some of y'all have given up hope because what you've been believing God for hasn't come to pass. And I hear Jesus telling you, didn't I tell you, whatever I say I'm going to do, you can put all your money on it because I will do it, not because of you, but because of me. Jesus said, the reason why I'm going to get Lazarus up is not because I'm trying to fulfill some kind of vision that you got. It's because I want glory out of this situation. Maybe Lazarus died because they wanted to get the credit for appealing to Jesus. Maybe they wanted to get the credit for saying, I prayed the right prayer. I made the right appeal. I asked Jesus the right way. And Jesus said, as long as you are part of the equation, I'm not showing up. But at the point where it's dead, everybody's going to know that there is no way that this could have happened if it was not for Jesus. I'm here to preach and tell somebody that when God shows up into your situation, he's going to make sure that you know that there is no way it could have happened if it was not for the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he is coming. He is coming. Somebody say, he is coming. Somebody say, he is coming. I need somebody's faith to get to the next level. You've been crying for too long. You've been mourning for too long. You've been sad for too long. You've had your face down for too long. You've been covering your faith and your face for too long. I'm here to preach and tell somebody, it's time to throw off your mourning garments. It's time to get rid of all the mourners around you. And it's time to say, I believe that he is coming to get me out. What's going to happen when Jesus gets there? Jesus said, didn't I tell you? I'm going to get the glory out of this. Then Jesus goes to the grave of Lazarus. He says, roll away the stone. They say, you're 4 days too late. Now my situation stinks. He said, do what I tell you to do. You know what kind of faith you got to have to move a stone away and be re-exposed to a dead version of a promise that used to be alive, that you know is stinky, that you know has got maggots in it and flies and decomposition. A mummified promise wrapped up in graves clothes, tossed aside, forgotten about, left behind, mourned. You've already gone through the mourning process. Denial, self-reflection, acceptance. You've already moved on. You're just ready to go to the repast, eat your fried chicken, mashed potatoes, collard greens, cornbread. I'm hungry. You've already completely given up on the fact that anything can be done with what was. And yet Jesus shows up and says, didn't I tell you that what I said I was going to do, I'm going to do it. So Jesus looks at the grave and says, Lazarus! You know that Jesus had to say Lazarus? Because if he said, come forth, every single grave would have popped open. And every dead thing, it would have to come back to life. But Jesus looked directly into Mary and Martha's face. And he said, I told you that I was going to do this. And so right now, I need Lazarus to get out. And can you imagine Lazarus right now? Lazarus' spirit is making his way to heaven. And he feels something. Jacking on his leg. And in the midst of his flight, because Jesus said, I will do whatever I say I will do, he pulls him back, puts him back in the body, evicts the maggots, shoos away the flies, and he comes out of the grave. Because when Jesus finally shows up, no grave, no dead thing, no hurt, no drama, no trauma, no crazy family member, no demonic hex, no seance, no devil, no abuse. Nothing can stop God's word from being accomplished. But my question is, how many of you are getting ready to throw in the towel when he's right around the corner? Some of us want the resurrection, but you know that before the resurrection, he's on his way. He is coming. Whew. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. But if I was going to preach to myself, I'd say Jesus, the one who healed the brokenhearted, the one who caused blinded eyes to see, the one who caused lame legs to leap, the one who caused dead men to be raised, the one who cast out demons from a person, the one who gave life back to a person that was dead. That same Jesus is on his way to my situation. So I'm not going to hold back my praise and my worship just because I'm going through some hard times. I know that I can go through anything that the enemy tosses my way. Why? Because I know he is. The reason why some of y'all are shouting in the midst of your adversity is because you know that the King of Kings is on the way. You know. You hear the footsteps coming down the hall. Oh, I wish somebody would give Jesus some praise in this place. I wish somebody would give Jesus 10 seconds of your best praise. He's on the way. I want to preach some faith into somebody. I want to preach some faith into somebody. You've been by the grave mourning your loss. And I come to preach and tell somebody, keep on holding on. He is on the way. Your answer is on the way. The application will be accepted. The baby is coming. The marriage is being fixed. is on the way. He is coming. You keep standing. We got little children. 7, 4, 2. And there are times where they really, 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 really love each other. And there are times where they get to fighting. Especially the 7 and the 4-year-old. They'll start fighting, getting into an argument or something. And when one of them starts to get advantage of the other one, you can hear them. Daddy! And it's amazing that when they hear my footsteps coming down the hall, they get a new sense of confidence, because the one who's got more power and more authority and more ability is coming their way. So they'll look at the other one and say, go ahead and hit me one more time. Try me if you want to. My daddy's on the way. And when he gets here, you're gonna be in trouble. I wish somebody would recognize that whatever trouble you're in, tell the devil to hit you one more time. Because your daddy is on the way. And when he gets here, oh! Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise in this place. Come on, you ought to give God praise for heading your way. When I don't know what to do, I give God praise because he's on the way. My miracle, my blessing, my resurrection. Woo! Who am I preaching to? I said, God, tell me who I'm preaching to. Jesus said, I'm preaching to some Marys and Marthas. That the thing that you love has been buried for a while. And you feel like Jesus has forgotten about you. But he sent me here to tell you, he is coming. The resurrection of your promise that's dead is on the way. So keep on holding on. Keep the faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep worshiping. Keep shouting. Because nothing confuses the enemy more than somebody that's got something dead buried, but still rolling away stones. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen him do it before. And if he did it for you, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I'm trying to be selfish. If he did it for you, I know that he will do it for me. I know that whatever is dead in his presence has got to come back to life. I know that whatever I bury, when he shows up, it has to come out. It has to. Lazarus didn't have an opinion. Lazarus just minding his own business. Yeah. Wrapped up in grave clothes. Body decomposed. Maggots, flies. He can't even swat the flies. He just... His spirit is hovering somewhere else. But soon as Jesus said, Lazarus. Lazarus like, how am I supposed to get out of this situation? Jesus didn't even go in the grave. Jesus didn't even go in the grave. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus still looked dead. Because the grave clothes were still on him. But when Jesus said, come forth, to the best of his ability, he had to hop out. Some of y'all are trying to go into the graveyard and resurrect something that's dead. But if you wait on Jesus, Jesus will make that thing come to you. You ain't got to build your own platform. He'll bring the platform to you. You ain't got to find your own bookings. He'll make the bookings come to you. You don't have to go find your own house. They'll just show up and say, hey, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I got a business proposition for you. You know what I'm talking about. I got to close. Somebody say, he is coming. He is coming. He is coming. I want you to get that so down in your spirit that when you face whatever challenges you face this week, you can stare right in the face and say, you know what? My situation may not change today. It may not even change tomorrow. But he is coming. And as long as he's coming, you better get ready. Because when he gets here, you have no option but to get up out of here. Somebody give Jesus some praise in this place. If you can stand all across this place, by a show of hands, who am I preaching to? There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. It may have been a while. It may have been a while. Imagine having to wrap up Lazarus. It feels so final. Has anybody ever been there? Where you feel like what was alive and vibrant and working and doing well and producing has gotten sick. And when it got sick, you called out to Jesus, come heal this thing. Come fix it. Come make it work. He didn't show up. Now it has died. And it's one thing for something to die and still expect Jesus to show up. But Jesus said, no. I'm going to wait until it's dead. Until when I show up, you don't get any credit. I get all the glory. Could it be that some things in our lives have not been resurrected because it would mean that we still get glory? But I believe that he's a wonder-working God. I still believe that he is a miracle working God. I'm talking to somebody today. You've given up. given up hope. Jesus sent me as a messenger to tell you he is coming. Hands lifted in this place. That child. I know you wrote off that marriage. I know you wrote it off, that ministry, that business idea. But he's coming. He's on the way. The resurrection, the promise is on the way. If you're in this place, and there's something in your life that you've had to bury because it's dead. You feel like it's dead. And you've been waiting on Jesus. Won't you come down to this altar? Get as close as you can. I want to tell you something. If you're coming down here, I want you to notice that Jesus did not turn Mary and Martha away for asking him where he had been. Yeah. There have been many times I've asked the Lord, yeah, where have you been?
Where have you been?
I feel like you didn't hear me. I feel like you should have come through earlier.
Yeah.
I feel like you should have been here by now.
Yeah.
So if you come down this altar, you don't have to put on a false face.
No.
And act like you ain't aggravated.
Right.
You can admit to Jesus that you've been waiting for a while.
Yes.
And at the same time, hear him say, "Didn't I tell you that I was coming?" So as we enter into this time of worship, I just want you to enter into the presence of the Lord and let him wash over you and remind you of all the promises that he gave you, all the things he said he would do in your life. It's not dead. It may seem dead, but he is coming. And when he shows up, he will resurrect everything that you thought was dead in your life. So all hands lifted in this place.
Thanks for listening today. If this message spoke to you in any way, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. We would like to connect with you. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit embassycity.com. You can watch live on Sundays and view past messages on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Embassy City Church. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Embassy Urban. If you'd like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at embassycity.com or text Embassy City, all one word, to 77977. We pray you have a great week. Thanks for listening today.